Might be easier.
And sound out in the auditorium.
Okay.
That's not the piano, it's his mic.
Yes. You are live, my friend.
Good evening. Good to see you. Thanks for coming again. Good to see you here in the auditorium. This is about a few people that make it. Members of the media team. Glad, of
course. Which one is the piano?
We'll sing all four verses of page 3,
what
9,
to
8,
that?
Glory to His name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name.
I forgot to ask you to stand.
Second.
Get out of practice on all this,
yep.
All two of you. I don't want to be alone.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. To my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Down to His fountains, the rich and sweet, cast
thy
poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
And that's a wonderful thing to have a Savior. I don't know how in the world anybody has any kind of happiness. I'm sure happy with some life without the Savior.
Say again. I don't know.
You go from one to the other searching. Whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, have everlasting life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the good news for all folks. Well, good to have you here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His help with our service this evening. Lord, we are grateful, and thank You for reminding us once again that it is glory to Your name and do Your name because of what You've done for us. And thank You, Lord, for all the people that are in the world, of all the places we could have been in the world, of all the things that could have happened to us while we were in this world, that You revealed to us the message of Christ. Thank You for that. Thank You for giving us that which we need in faith, and thank You, Lord, for giving us all the blessings that You've given us, looking forward to that day where we go to be with You. But until that time, Lord, we ask please that You help, guide, direct, and bless in everything that we do. Bless tonight's service. the efforts that are put forth, and may you be honored and glorified. Bring glory to your name. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And may be seated. If you would please take your song book one more time and turn with me to page 79 at the cross. We'll sing all four verses of page 79 at the cross.
And did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. That's a good reminder. It is all about Jesus and the cross. Continue to pray, if you would please, for Steve Bitsko, who is recovering from an accident. An accident where he was hit from behind. Finally, he slowed down long enough for them to catch him. And so they decided to go ahead and get engaged on Friday night while we were out to dinner. So that was nice. And so we pray for them that they have wisdom as far as what they need to do for the Lord in the future. Also, wanted to remind you to pray for Jeff Lacano. He did get home, so he is back. He made it home safely. You know, today. Just continue to pray for him and his health. And hopefully, we'll see him here pretty soon in the church again. He appreciates us and his prayers for him while he was traveling. Pray if you would please also for Janice Henson. She is on our prayer list, and we want to keep praying for her. Robert Skip Brenner, Sue Brenner, and also Michael Sawyer. Wanted to mention also with Faith Life, if you want to join the Faith Life site, and you can go to faithbaptistelpaso.com, and you can join them. And when you join in your quest, we'll give you the permission to be able to give us prayer requests, and then we'll put them online. There's also an opportunity for you to give hospital in his accident. The Tuesday night informal Bible study will be canceled at this point. So we're suspending it. And so you keep praying for him. As soon as he's able, I'm sure he'll want to start with everybody who's doing it, enjoy it immensely. And so we're having our regular services Sunday morning, 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Really, we can't have any more than 10. Just for your information, legally, that's kind of where we're at. So if we get 10 people here, the rest of you got to sit out in the parking lot. So I don't know if it might be better for you to stay home. I don't know what to tell you to do until they change their COVID rules. But we do appreciate those that are here. I wanted to say also for the media team, thank you for all the time you've been putting in to get the songs ready. Mrs. Rink has been working on it. Others have been working on it and trying to get them ready. You don't realize when you start broadcasting online how much work it goes into making those slides that are up there, but we've been spending a lot of time doing that. Others have been working on other things. We really appreciate it. There has been no opportunity to minister before this, really, except for just doing the services online. And so we've come a long way. We're going through some growing pains, some difficult times. Occasionally you'll see some things that might surprise you. Don't panic. We're not panicking. We might be a little bit, but if you see, kind of laugh at it with us. Remember, it is serious, but sometimes it's okay to laugh at yourself and what you do. And we're working on it, so we're going through growing pains of sound and audio, and also we're going through growing pains with video and broadcasting and everything else. So we covet your prayers, but I just want to say once again, thank you. All of you that have been putting in the effort, getting it started up, working with it, doing everything you can to try to help us to minister through these COVID-19 days. I'm hoping that maybe by the end of 2020, COVID-19 days will be over. But some of the changes we're making, I have no idea what we're going to do. But be praying one for another. My wife and I were discussing on the way to work here what's going to survive, or on the way here. What's going to survive? This is work for me. But what's going to survive? We don't know. Jobs and companies and countries and just a lot of different things. There's a lot of things going on. So we don't know, but we have faith in the Lord and we can trust Him because He knows exactly what He's doing. So I have confidence in Him. He will take care of me, His child, you, His child. No matter what comes our way, no matter how disconcerting it might seem, no matter how troubled we might feel about it, we can have confidence always in the Lord.
Bible verse.
Lord, take care of us and watch us during this difficult time. Thankful to Him. So far, really, we've been protected. I don't know if anybody has had it, possibly maybe, but we haven't. We haven't been tested. We haven't been found positive. Certainly. It's been very low. So pray one for another. Pray for our country. Pray for people around the globe. Many countries are suffering a lot more than America.
Because you did everything yesterday. It was pretty easy.
Pray that the people turn to the Lord. Well, so at this time, I'm going to go ahead and pray for the offering. We're not going to take one here tonight, but we're going to pray for the offering. Give possibly online, maybe we'll get that opportunity. Lord, we thank you for blessing us, helping us, guiding us, directing us, and watching over us once again. And so, Lord, we pray as we've have taken the time to set aside a time here tonight to do an offering. We ask please that you would bless. Bless the gift, the giver, help us wisely use that which you've given to us. And Lord, we ask that you provide us on the need. Help us, Lord, to reach the people of our community and the folks around the world.
Thank you.
with me, if you would, please, one more time. Page 392, there was a fountain filled with blood drawn from a man's vein. We'll sing all four verses of page 392. There is a fountain filled with blood.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Their sins by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Society are they're trying to do better for themselves, so, and that's good, because does everybody here like to be poor? Do you like to have nothing? Do you like to have nothing to do? I prefer to have some kind of goal to be able to shoot for. So the scripture is pretty clear, and the title of the sermon tonight is what? No goal. What? No goal. And we can go to the scripture, and I'm talking spiritual goal here. I'm not necessarily concerned about becoming millionaires, although if you happen to, don't forget to tithe. But I'm more concerned about us, we as Christians, having a goal, and I think God is very clear about it as well. So if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We'll talk about some scripture, we'll talk about some things, and there's some people in the Bible. We'll try to give you an idea about how important it is for a Christian to have a goal. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 reads as thus, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. What a blessing, what a tremendous opportunity we have. Lord, we know that we're not necessarily talking about things of the world or things of the earth or a person wanting to do better for themselves or things like that. But it does apply in those cases as well. But really, we're talking about people and perishing. We know that you said that you were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and forgive their sin, and heal their land. And, O Lord, that you have encouraged us to walk with you, and be guided and directed by you. And Lord, it is a heartbreaking thing when we think of rich man and the story of, in the story of Lazarus, and how that during his lifetime he probably had an opportunity to hear and to believe in the truth and chose not to. And that even as I speak right now, that he is in a place that I would want no one to go to ever for all eternity, that place that you've created called hell. And so, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this subject that we might have a vision that folks might be saved and that we might help them to see the way so that they will not perish. Bless now this sermon, this effort, as we put it forth tonight. Jesus. I've thought about interesting things about the world and the world, how they have goals. But isn't it sad when you think about someone that has no purpose for their life? They have no goal. They have no drive. I'm just talking about maybe in the world too. It's very, very sad if a person is maybe given up and just doesn't have it. And maybe they had a vision at one point and then they lost it. Maybe they fought so hard that they finally came to a point where, you know, they fought and they're just so tired of fighting that they no longer have a vision. I think it's sad that many people fit into that category, or the category, whether they're saved or whether they're unsaved, they don't have a goal. They have no goals. And by the way, when you have no goals, you reach no goals for anything. They have no goals, and they never try to reach for anything. And I feel sorry for them. Maybe they had goals, and maybe they tried, and it got difficult, and then maybe they just gave up. Maybe it's from the Lord. Maybe the Lord wanted to lead them, guide them, direct them in another direction. But anyway, they should have a goal and go that direction. They should have some kind of direction. I would hate to think that we would go into eternity and not have consulted God on a goal, and then done everything that we possibly could do to be able to reach that goal so that we could fulfill the will of God for our lives. I think that's one. Number one. So in order to have a goal, you got to set a goal, right? God has given each one of us opportunities. He's given each one of us qualities. He's given each one of us things that we can do that are unique to what we can do. And so we ought to take an opportunity to set a goal. God would want us to make goals and full use of all of our qualities and all of our opportunities that he's given to us. Setting a goal is helping us to reach our potential, not necessarily just for ourselves or for those people that are surrounding us, but for God, that God has realizes our potential, places that potential within each one of us, and he wants us to maximize and reach our potential. To him that knoweth not the port in which he is bound, no wind can be favorable. One wise man once wrote. So if you don't know where you're headed, it doesn't matter where the wind's blowing from. You're just going off in a direction, but you don't have any direct idea of where you're going. You may have the best ship around. You may have the most valuable cargo on board. But without having a goal of where you're going, you're just adrift. Just going through life just adrift without reaching for anything. God has given us an opportunity. We have good people in our church. We have some measure of health. Some of us are a little beat up. We have a certain measure of freedom. Maybe post-COVID-19 freedom. current COVID-19 freedom needs a lot of work. I'm still having a hard time getting used to that. You may have a good voice to be able to speak. You may make sure you take tracks and wipe your hands. Don't wipe the tracks. Smear the ink but wipe your hands with a hand sanitizer and then put the track down and tell them I touched it with hand sanitizer so it's safe for you. Give them hand sanitizer and maybe they can read the track. We have the freedom to be able to go out and talk to people about the Lord, which in a lot of countries, you know, around the globe, you can't just go down the street in Saudi Arabia and talk to somebody about Jesus, or many of these other countries where it is forbidden, and it's in Africa, it's in Europe, it's in Asia, it's in the Middle East, it's all over the globe where there is not a friendly place in some of these places for the gospel to be preached. The only way you can get the gospel out is through some kind of a radio broadcast in their language, and people are working really hard to get that done as well to be able to get it out. But we have lots of opportunities. What, though, are we doing with the opportunities that the Lord has given us to be able to reach those people in the world? We know where they're going if they don't hear the message of Christ and receive Christ as their personal Savior. Remember, when you set a goal, it may not be as easy as you thought that it was to reach it. Somebody asked me, why did you start Faith Baptist Church of El Paso, Texas? You know what I tell them? Because I believe God wanted me to. Because I believe God wanted me to. We went to all the independent Baptist churches that were currently 12 years ago or so, and we prayed about it. We went, listened to the services, met the pastors, talked to the people of the church. Sometimes we went different. We helped out at one church because we were requested to stay, and so we did for quite a while out of Westside Baptist Temple Road, shift over there. And we prayed about it, about the God you wanted, and we knew from the bottom of our hearts, from the tip of our heads to the tip of our toes, we knew the Lord wanted us to start Faith Baptist Church. Did you think it was going to be easy? They asked me. And I said, no, I knew it was going to be one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in my life. But I know that the Lord wanted me to do it. And when you know the Lord wants you to do something, it doesn't matter how difficult the situation is, because you know He wants you to do it. You can keep on doing it. It may not be easy to reach. Ships that cross the ocean must endure every type of weather, every type of mechanical issue, every type of communication problem. Every type of problem that goes on within a group of people living for a long time together on a ship on the ocean. They have to deal with personal issues. They have to deal with sicknesses and other things. And I know helicopters can get to them now much quicker than they used to. But if you imagine back in the old days, people coming across from England or people going back from the United States over to other parts of the world on a ship, it was a long and arduous and difficult journey. The Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul warning the captain of the ship that he shouldn't leave the island, and instead he left and they ended up in shipwreck. So, goals are not always met, and goals are not always easy to reach, and it may take you all of your days, and you may not ever reach your goal. But that's just the way life is. There's going to be a storm. There's going to be waves. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. Look, if the Lord let you know all of the difficulties that you were going to have to endure, you probably just would have quit. Right? He doesn't reveal them to you. He just reveals them to you when He wants you to know what they're going to be. Because if you piled them all up in your little mind and in your little heart, you would get so disheartened and discouraged. Who knows what you might do? Third thing I want to mention about goals is this. Once you set a goal, don't take your eyes off of it. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, once you set that goal, don't take your eyes off of it. Paul talked about athletic competition when he talked about setting and reaching goals. We know that he did. He said that he to keep your eye on the what? The author and finisher of our faith, right? He talked about the training that goes on and the buffeting and the sacrifice that people make when they do athletic competition. And he compared it to the Christian walk and the Christian life. And he said, don't take your eyes off the goal. Press toward that mark. Not me. Press toward that mark out there, that goal. Set that goal and go out there and reach that goal. And don't take your eyes off of it. So, you were...
driving along in your car, and you looked over and you saw a field. And in that field, you looked, and all the lines in the field looked like this. Right? And all the crops were all planted willy-nilly. You know who he is? I don't know either. But people talk about him from time to time. And so they're all planted willy-nilly, and they're not in straight lines and everything. And I can tell you what happened there. That farmer got in that tractor, and he got distracted, and he was watching a bird over there. And as he did, he kind of went that direction, right? And then that row's crooked. No, when you look and you see what the farmer has done, the farmer looks and he sets his, I don't know what he sets his sight on, maybe a tree out there, right? It isn't some movable object, obviously. The neighbor's house a mile away, I don't know. And what does he do? He heads straight toward that. Then he turns around and he looks and he sees where he's at, and he kind of watches where he's going, and he sets another mark and he goes. And he goes back where he just came from. And he turns that tractor around and he puts that plow down into the ground, and he does that. You know, my brother-in-law did that when he was 8 years old. His dad would take him out, drop him off, give him a lunch, drop him off early in the morning around sunup, and give him a lunch, and he'd go pick him up at the end of the day about sundown. He was 8 years old, driving a tractor out there all by himself. Somehow he survived. And child labor, you know, those terrible people using those children. But the farmer, planting the field, it's straight because he keeps looking forward. Running, gets on the track, and he runs, and he keeps his eyes straight forward. He's looking towards that finish line out there. Now, there was a famous runner years ago, and his name was Carl Lewis. He was a world record holder at the time. I think nobody has beaten Usain Bolt, I think, at this point. He's been the fastest man to ever run in a sprint, and I don't remember exactly what dashes it is, but so Carl Lewis was running one day, and he was ahead, and he was wondering how close his competitor was, and he looked, and his competitor beat him by a fraction because he looked, he took his eye off the goal. And you have to be careful about that kind of thing. Now, so when you're a hurdler, which I tried that and it hurts, I call them hurdlers. And because I don't know how in the world they do that. They run in the hurdle, jump over the hurdle. And have you ever had one of those? Have you ever hit one of those and fall? It's painful. And I said, nah, I'm not doing that. But you watch those. And what do? They keep looking toward the goal. They keep ahead, and they overcome that obstacle with those strides. And I have no idea how they do that. They're much more athletic than I am or ever would have been, especially in my condition right now. It would be very dangerous for me to try anything like that. The hockey player gets out there on the ice, and I tried ice skates, and it doesn't work very well for me. I nearly broke my ankles. And go out there with the ice skates, and he takes that stick, and they go around, and they go 100 miles an hour around each other like that. We have the El Paso Rhinos here, and you can go watch them. They're a champion. Oh, I heard they entered a new league now. They're in the next level league now. They moved them up to another league. And you go watch them, and the one thing that they're trying to do, the defense is trying to keep that other team from getting that little black rubber, hard rubber puck into the net. And the other team that's on offense, they're trying to get that thing into the net. And so both of them have a goal at either end of the rink. And so you have a goal at the other end of the rink, and that is what they're trying to get the puck in, because they're trying to reach their goal. And that's hockey lingo there. Actually, if you go watch hockey, really all it is a fight with people shooting a little rubber puck around there. It's kind of fun to watch when they start swinging at each other and all that stuff. Even NASCAR is good when they start fighting with each other. Some guy decked another guy the other night. And it's just kind of fun to watch. You said you like people decking you. No. Do I like to deck people? I prefer that rather than somebody decking me. Basketball player, what does he do? He gets out there and he dodges and he goes around. They pass the ball and they set up a triangle offense or a quadrangle offense. And they go and they try to, what do they do? The guy runs down the center and he goes flying up in the air like Michael Jordan. And he goes, and it bounces off and goes out. Now he goes in. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get the ball in that net. And boy, do they get paid good money for that. Great Christian, what should they do in order to reach their goal? Anything that the Lord asks them to do. The great Christian, just like the great athlete, goes out there and does everything that God wants them to do to the best of their ability, leaving the results unto the Lord and waiting for that day that when they finally reach their heavenly home, that they hear their master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." There's nothing better for the great Christian than to finish his course, than to come to the end of his life like the Apostle Paul did and say, "I've done what I was supposed to do." Jesus came and finished his work that he came to do. Paul finished his work that he came to do. It is said of David that he served his generation by the will of God. Once we set a goal, we should not take our eyes off of it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have obstacles. These hockey players, runners, hurdlers, farmers, anybody always has an obstacle that they have to overcome. But whether it's the truck driver trying to get the truck out on the road to bring that load of whatever is necessary over there to those individuals. One time years ago, I was working, and a guy came in. It was late at night. I was working second shift, and he had a load of chicken. He couldn't let that frozen chicken go below 44 degrees. And so we drove all the way from Las Cruces, New Mexico, over here to the east side of El Paso, the utility trailer, obtained some of the parts that we needed. I was able to go back, and I was able to save that load of chicken. And by golly, Colonel Sanders was happy, because I was able to save a load of frozen chicken. If I wouldn't have been able to do it, he would have been fried. And so would the chicken. And it would have been a total loss of that chicken. And that's a funny joke, but nobody laughed. There are two types of goals, long range and short range. When I travel to different points, we used to do a lot of driving back when the kids were small. We would go to Wisconsin to see my grandparents. They lived in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. You can look that up on the map. You can see how far it is from Las Cruces, New Mexico, or Tucumcari, New Mexico, or El Paso, Texas. We would go, and we would drive all the way there. My parents lived in Mansfield, Ohio at the time, and so we would go to Mansfield, Ohio. And there's a short-term goal. We'd go from here to there, try to split the trip up for the most part whenever we would do it, maybe two 11-hour days. Usually it was 22, 23, 24 hours. To be able to drive there. I didn't like driving all the way straight through. It gets kind of messy in the car when people get sick. And so it was better to go ahead and just stop for the night. And so we'd set a short-term goal. We need to make it to here, to here, to here, to here. We would take and wrap hot dogs in aluminum foil and put them on our engine. And then we would drive, get to a certain spot, we'd pull out a loaf of bread, tater chips, soda pops, whatever we had to drink, water, and we'd get out the ketchup and mustard. And we'd have hot dogs by the side of the road. And my son had a birthday on Friday, and we went to a nice restaurant. But there was a time when he was going to youth conference that he had a birthday by the side of the road at a rest area, and he had hot dogs and a loaf of bread. And we passed them off to somebody, and he went to youth conference. And so we have short-term goals. Maybe you want to have a goal of being in school. Finishing grade by grade would be a good thing to do. And then you can go from there and decide if you want to do higher education, finishing high school, going into college, maybe into something else. You could have a short-term goal, but you got to go from goal to goal to goal. Short goals, short-term goals, and then there's also long-term goals. So if you want a new house, what would you do? You'd save a little bit from every paycheck, put it aside for a down payment, and then you can go, or you get a down payment loan or whatever you want on your house, and then you could go and get the house. And then you can make payments. If you get like me, by the time I'm 75, I think I'll have my house paid off. If I live that long. If I die, then my wife can pay it off with the insurance. But I'm hoping to stick around for a little while longer and pester my family just a little bit longer. Short-term goals. Well, if we're a church, we should have long and short-term goals, right? We should have a building to accommodate. Work? We need another one? Think about it. Maybe we could have a homeschool association for those that are homeschooled. I don't know. Something like that. Maybe we might want to continue on with not only our Bible study online, but maybe have a Bible college online. Something like that. That could be a goal we could have. Maybe we could help people and reach people through helping other people to grow. Something like that. Maybe we could have a prison ministry. There's a couple of them around here. Some of you guys, maybe you feel like you could be called to preach. You go to the prison and preach. I know two older individuals, preachers, right now. One of them is 80 years old. He goes and preaches in prison. He's not going to be around forever. There's going to need to be somebody that's going to need to step in and to go and preach in those places. I know another one that's already 80, I think he's 84, and he still preaches in the county jail. And it would be good if somebody would take over and help with that ministry. There's all kinds of things that we can do. Long range, well, we can do all kinds of things, and who knows where the Lord will lead us. In the meantime, we just got to pay the rent. Amen. and we just got to try to survive COVID-19. And maybe there'll be a Faith Baptist Church, El Paso, Texas, post COVID-19. The time will tell. But we need to have short range and long range goals so that you and I can serve the Lord. Look with me, if you would please, at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I told you we'd use some scripture. For those of you who were wondering, when is that guy going to get back in the Bible? I'll be back.
I spell it.
I would read that this morning. It's a pretty good song. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what's behind you? Anybody?
Here in the room?
Anyway?
Wall.
Oh.
Wall.
What's behind you?
Wall.
Behind me is a wall, and you too, right? Mm-hmm. But what's behind you in your life, as you're traveling through life, what's behind you? In our case, marriage. In other people's cases, maybe. Right? Okay, so here we go. Behind me is what? Past. Thank you very much. At least one person is paying attention. She's stuck on marriage. I'm glad, because we've been married a long time. I hope you stick with it. And good that you made it this far. First. But that's all what? In the past. We may not be smart, but we have a good time, amen. So behind us is what? The past. So will this sermon be behind us, but there is a recording of it. I think we're gonna delete this one. Paul said, look, don't look at your past. Don't look at what's going on around you. What does he say? He says, look into the future and look forward. Have a goal. Always pressing forward. I count not myself to have apprehended. So once you've found something or have gotten something and you've reached a goal, you better have another one ahead of you, because you've got to continue to go for it, to apprehend it, to have a desire to continue to be married. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm looking forward to my 36th. Mary and Joseph had a goal. Once they found out that the Christ child would be born into their family, they wanted to do the very best that they could to fulfill the will of God for their life. So they did, and they went, and they had a baby boy by the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and they raised him up in their home. Can you imagine how that would have been? All parents, when they have their first child, are scared to death, I can tell you. And I was scared to death, and somehow he survived. And somehow we survived, and then we had three more, and somehow they survived, and we survived. Are you sure? We survived. But they had a goal to do what they could to try to raise the Christ child in their home. They looked toward the future. Take a look with me, if you would please, at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. The Bible's full of examples of people that wanted to serve the Lord. Wanted to do what God wanted them to do. They wanted to left alone and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." So here, Jacob is wrestling, I believe, with Jesus. And Jesus hits him and cripples him a little bit. But Jacob just hangs on, doesn't he? And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob," which was supplanter. So one that pulls out a plant, places himself in the place of that plant, just like he did with his brother, supplanted himself in the place of his brother and got the blessing. And he said, "You're not going to be called that anymore. You're going to be called Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." He said, "You know what? I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to change your name." And so he got a new name, and he had a goal. Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask me thy name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which is, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And so he realized that all of a sudden he knew he had been with God. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not, and the sinew was shrank, upon the hollow of the thigh to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And so Jacob, from that point on, and I'm going to fall here, like Herbert, from that point on, there, if I fall, then you'll get another good laugh. And Jacob was not going to let God go until he got a blessing. There was not going to be a time where Jacob wasn't going to hang on. And he said, "No, I got a hold of you now, and I'm like not going to stop until you bless me." And that's determination, isn't it? That's a goal. He said, "I'm not going to let you go." And then the Lord, he asked the Lord, "What's your name?" He said, "You really need to ask me who I am." And he said, "No." And he blessed him there, changed his name, and gave him a great blessing. Because why? He hung on to that goal, and he completed that goal of hearing from the Lord. And God giving him something. Maybe you need to make that. Maybe you need to grab onto something. Maybe you need to set a goal and say, "Lord, I'm not letting go of it until you hear and answer my prayer." Of course, we don't want to have God give us something to be unhealthy for us from time to time. The Lord did answer his people's prayer, gave them something that they asked for that really wasn't all that good in order to teach them a lesson. To ask him, "What is thy will?" And I would recommend that you do that. Somebody said this once, "High goals form high character." So, is it okay to set a high goal? Yes. Is it okay to set an unreasonable goal? No. So, when you go to God and ask him, say, "Lord, what is it that you would have me to do?" Ask him to help you, and then you can reach that goal. It is the absence of a goal that causes thousands of young people to change jobs, do nothing, and accomplish little. Because they don't have a goal. One guy said one time, he said, sometimes some people are like the man that got on the horse and rode off in all directions. You just don't get too far when you do something like that. So let me just encourage you tonight. You may not have the ability to be able to reach lofty goals, but set them as lofty as you can reach them. You need to go to God and say, "God, what is it that you want me to do?" I can tell you that anybody that's in this room or anybody listening to something like this, that you can do that. And God, who is the God of heaven, will reveal to you what it is he wants you to do. And then you can ask him to help you to reach that goal, to provide for you, to open doors, close doors, move you around wherever he wants you to do, and you can finish your days. One of these days. All of these things here on the earth are not going to matter. You're not taking any of them with you. The only thing that will matter is what you've done for Jesus Christ. Because when you get to heaven, the wood and the hay and the stubble, it's going to be burned. That's it. It's going to be taken care of. And then all that's going to remain is what you've done for the Lord. And he'll reward you when you get to heaven for what you've done. rest of your life if you're not young anymore. Set your goal to serve God with everything you've got for the remaining days. And you will not be sorry that you did. But just floating along. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to reach out to those who are around us, do the will of God, so that He can reward us someday. Maybe, just maybe, you'll make a difference in someone's eternity because you decided to do the will of God. If it was only one soul, wouldn't your whole life be worth it? If only one soul got saved, you saved one person. I mean, you didn't save them. You helped them. Because you talked to them, they got saved. And they're in heaven. They'll thank you for eternity just for doing the will of God that God asked you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again to be here in this place. And Lord, as we've set lofty and short-term goals, lengthy goals, long-term, and daily goals, Lord, help us to reach those. Guide us and direct us by your hand. Help us to be wise enough to know what to do. And help us, Lord, to fulfill that will of God that you have for us here on this earth as long as we're here. Once again, Lord, we pray for those who are not saved, that you would save them. Those who are saved who are having a hard time, Lord, would you help them? Those that are saved, Lord, would you keep them serving you and keep them faithful, deliver them from sin. When temptation comes, Lord, help them to find that way to escape, that you provided for us. And Lord, we pray for those that are sick, can't be in the services. Nobody can be, but you can help them and you can heal them. You are the great physician. You know what to do. Lord, we ask you that you help them, heal them, all those folks on the prayer list. And then, Lord, once again, we confess our sin before you. Maybe the greatest sin that we have is that we just haven't reached our potential for doing your will for our lives. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, as we have sinned and maybe we have failed you. Help us to do better in the days ahead. Guide us, direct us, and bless us now during this time of invitation, please. In Jesus' name. The music is playing. The altar is open if you folks here need it. If you just want to pray there at your seat, please go to the Lord in prayer. Take your word and see your promise. Help us to do what we need to do. Thank you for coming tonight, being in the services. Those of you that ran the media today, thank you so much for all your work, putting together all the slides, putting together all the music. It's been a blessing to those who came to be here. Looking forward to the day when you come back to church and I get to see you again. Call me. May not be able to talk or answer right away, but I'll try to get in there and give you a holler and we'll talk. And if you need something, please let me know. That's what it's all about. Amen. So let's all stand here in the auditorium. We'll have a closing word of prayer and that is the service after the prayer. Lord, we thank you for once again for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you said, well, there is no vision that you will perish. Encourage us and strengthen us in every way to do thy will. But with us now as we go, protect us, please, by your hand. Lord, those who are sick, Lord, we're burdened for them. We ask, please, that you heal them. You are the great physician. Make them pay. Bless now, we pray, the rest of this week and in the days ahead. our leaders. Protect those who are in dangerous places. You are dismissed. And thank you. This is Pastor Mark Rinka, Faith Baptist Church, El Paso, Texas. This concludes our service.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Wonderful.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know about this.
Nothing died.
Nothing freaked out.
No.
No.
I only missed Miss Tina twice.
What does that mean?
Her piano.
Oh.
I tried to time it.
In the services.
Yeah, I tried to time it so that you're not talking when she's playing.
It was fine.
So that you don't just leap up while her piano turns on. So I miss a couple of seconds on the front end.
No, what was the best part?
Now, do you get anything out of the services?
Half goals.
That's the thing I always worry about more than anything else. I've never been the sound guy, so I don't know. But I don't know.
Oh, if you actually listen.
Yeah, I've sat in a service and listened, but I've never run something that records or broadcasts or does anything in a service. So I don't know if you can even pay any attention.
Depends on how bad of a sound day it is. Like today, everything got sat down and listened to the service.
I like the what?
No, your hair is kind of messed up in the back.
They weren't looking at the back enough.
No, thank goodness. No, it wasn't that bad.
No, I was sitting in the chair, in the overstuffed chair.
Oh, that's fine.
And I forgot to
see. He was sitting in the chair.
I didn't call him. Me and Cody were crashing there. Watching the end of the NASCAR race.
He likes to watch TV.
Yes. He will not be still. That dog will not be still.
Yes, he likes watching TV. He will be still
to watch TV.
You have to use
maybe
them.
Maybe he likes the lemon thing. He was up and down, up and down.
Womanizer dog.
He finally got it. He went under the desk, but then she wasn't there. When he got out, and he came back on my lap, and he went around outside and barked at somebody, and came back, and he got back on my lap, and then he got, you know what he did? He got into the red car. Yeah, he got into that thing today.
The red car?
The red car thing for the little...
The other thing that you had on the side.
The doggy bed or whatever.
Oh,
that red thing. What do they call that? I don't know.
Oh, it's...
Kennel?
It's a kennel.
Yeah, he got in there, and that was where he ended up. And he stayed there for a long time until I got up, and then he wanted on my lap again, and I told him no, and he got in his bed, and he laid there the rest of the time. So he does know.
He'll lay there most of the time when I'm working in the mornings. He'll come in and he'll lay there
in his bed,
or he'll get in the crate and he'll lay.
How does he get in that crate?
See, you realize, of course, there's a shop on the west side that sells marijuana dog treats. A couple of those. And
I have.
Be good.
I have.
You have? Just give it to them.
I went
give
to,
them the bag.
Yeah. We went to Pet Barn, and that was the only kind they had.
It was the only thing that they had to calm dogs, so that's what we got.
So, yeah, we do give them pot.
Did they have melatonin?
No. They didn't have anything except that.
No, we went to Walmart, and then I bought the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I still got to use the pot.
Get a melatonin injection every couple of hours.
Yeah, he's just berserk. He is so high strung.
Yeah, he seems to be doing pretty good. He's not crying at night or anything.
Yeah,
so.
He's doing better. We're not giving him any meds anymore. So whatever it was in there, it's no longer bothering him. And it's not a bone chip. He said it's just like a calcium deposit or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And if you've got the good meds, you should.
$400.
$400. For what?
For the
bill.
Yeah. $185 for the x-ray and $125 for the consultation on the x-ray. And then the meds and the visit.
Well, Grandma Teresa in Florida, she can't let go of an animal.
Yeah.
She's had to call her grandpa and say